And I had to put in, like, when I filled out the paperwork and stuff, I had to put in, like, when we were hypothetically going to be visiting Forks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I wonder if they give you, like, seasonal stuff. That's why. Like, if you're visiting in the winter, they give you, like, cooler weather stuff to do. Okay, so this is just, like, if you walked into, like, a tourist info place, they give you everything.
This is a lot of the paperwork that comes, that's at the Chamber of Commerce, like the Forks Visitor Center.
Yeah.
Turn that around. Oh, they wrote down.
Oh, maybe because they give out a certain amount of coupons.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so $5 off at the gift shop on Forks Avenue.
It's so cool.
Forever Twilight in Forks. Save the date.
That's for 2021, but they do it every year.
Oh, is that like their party?
Yep.
Their Twilight party? Forks Timber Museum. See, I want to go to a lot of this stuff. I don't know if I want to go on a Forks Twilight tour.
Why not?
Really? You want to do that?
Absolutely, I want to do that.
Do they just put you on like a bus, I wonder?
I don't know.
Oh.
Like, I think this might be stuff that you can just do on your own. Like, I don't know if there are specific people that do like Forks tours.
Yeah, you can see clothes from it at the museum. Adventures in Rainforest Country. See, I want to go to the rainforest.
Yeah.
There's so much shit in here.
This is not a Twilight podcast.
For $5, are we recording?
Yes.
So, for those of you just tuning in, Aaron and I are planning a trip to Forks, Washington.
Because we're not only dorks about scary movies, we're dorks about other things, yeah, too.
And so Forks is where Twilight took place. And for $5, you can go on the Forks, Washington, like, tourist website, and they'll send you a packet just filled with all of these things.
I like this Forks Bites restaurant guide.
I know. And it's totally cool. Like, even if you're just, like, a Twilight fan, to pay $5 and get all of the sweet info, it's perfect. Like, it's super fun.
I mean, you could probably... Well, yeah, it is cool to get something in the mail. And it is, like, a decent amount of touristy stuff.
It's a big packet. When I opened it up a couple days ago when I got it, I was like, holy shit.
This is cool. Okay, so we should probably talk about a movie and not Twilight.
Well, I mean, we could.
I mean, it is scary.
All right, let's get this going. My name is Chelsea.
I'm Erin.
And this is Slasher Movie Review. On tonight's episode of Slasher Movie Review, we're going to go to Point Pleasant, West Virginia in The Mothman Prophecies, which came out in 2002. It's an hour and 59 minutes. And
we'll try to keep the podcast shorter than an hour and 59 minutes.
Oh, yeah, let's hope so. Ugh, can you imagine? It was directed by Mark Pellington, and it's based on the novel by John Keel. And the writer screenplay guy was Richard Hatem.
Hatem.
Mm-hmm.
That's my guess.
Third time's the charm. And it stars Richard Gere as John, Laura Linney as Connie, and I love Laura Linney. Mm-hmm. She's a gem. Deborah Messing as Mary, Will Patton as Gordon, and David Eidenberg as Ed. And I put him down because he's Steve in Sex and the City.
Yeah.
I just thought it was cool. And I also wrote down Dan Callahan, who plays CJ, one of the people that sees Mothman, because he was in Midnight Meat Train as one of the victims. I couldn't get a good picture.
Was it the teenager? The teenage boy that sees Mothman when he's with his girlfriend?
Yes. Yeah. And I think he's part of the husband-wife duo.
That's what I think, too.
I think it's the guy that was with them.
Yes. Maybe. That's a good guess.
I could only see a couple pictures from that particular scene of Midnight Meat Train on the interwebs, and I'm pretty sure it's him. Dark hair, pale skin.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know if you were going to, like, keep going.
That's all that I have for right now.
Okay, so Mothman Prophecies is based on events, supposedly true events, mm-hmm. Between 1966 and 1967, which led to the Silver Bridge collapse in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. In the film, 36 people die.
Yep.
In reality, it was 46.
That's insane.
Yeah. There was a structural flaw mm-hmm. in the bridge. Well, wasn't not even
it,
a flaw.
It was like an I-beam failure or something.
Yeah, it was weight related because when the bridge was built in 1928, it was like Model Ts and like lightweight vehicles.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as time went on, vehicles got heavier and it was just basically
and they didn't
like,
do any like updates to the bridge, right?
Right. They didn't do any updates. This bridge collapse led to like legislation that that older bridges would be maintained and inspected where before it was just use it until they wear out.
Well, yeah.
Well, until they So it's based on true events. So the book written by John Keel, I didn't read it. We bought it.
Yeah. I would like to read it.
Greg said that because he read it like right away. He said that it's more like interdimensional travel type things, and it has a lot to do with like UFOs,
which is a theory of the Mothman that it is an alien. Like,
so what I read about John Keel, and I'm probably like, you know, hopefully I'm not butchering this information, is that he started out like hardcore UFO believer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then he got more on track of it's like interdimensional type beings that can present themselves however they feel like.
Isn't that crazy?
Which kind of is like the scene in the police station here.
Yes.
Yeah. And they are like on their own. They have their own agenda, their own things going on. Like, they don't really give a frick about people.
I mean,
yeah.
Why? Why? If you are an interdimensional being, yeah.
Okay. So it starts out with John, played by Richard Gere.
Yes.
And he's like getting out of work early. He's ditching his Christmas work party to go look at a house with
his
wife.
He's a reporter too from the Washington Post.
Yes, he works at the Washington Post
and is like super high up reporter. Yeah,
because when they after everything happens, they jump to 2 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Then he does like he's like a political analyst.
Like, yeah,
he's like he more than gears. Just a reporter. Mm-hmm. Like he's actually on like news programs.
Yeah, him and Deborah Messing, or Mary in the film, are married. Yeah, that whole, this whole part makes me sad.
Yeah, it's super sad. So they go to look at this house. It's this, like, big, beautiful mansion. Well, not really a mansion. It's just a
it's
big,
huge.
Giant house.
Yeah.
They decide they'll take it, and they're, like, so happy in love.
And it just makes you so sad because so they leave after signing and buying the house. They leave after seeing it and they're driving down the street and it's like icy and stuff like that. And they're laughing, having a good old time. And then all of a sudden,
well, he encourages her to like speed up. He says something like, how fast can you drive this?
Right.
And so, but they're like super giddy. They just bought this big house.
Are super happy, like all of these things.
They're flying down the road. She sees something and swerves.
Yeah.
And they get in an accident.
They get into an accident and she hits her head on the window and is like knocked unconscious.
Yeah. And that scene is really terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do like, I don't know. They, sorry.
That, you're okay. Yeah, no, you're fine.
So yeah, her head like hits the driver's side window, and then when they're in the hospital, she's laying in the bed. He's like at her side, and she wakes up and she's kind of like panicky, like doesn't know where she is, kind of freaked out. What's up?
I heard a ruckus coming from the kitchen.
Oh, okay. I'll just keep going then.
Sorry. We have four cats and a dog. There's bound to be some ruckuses happening.
She's panicky, and he kind of gets her to settle down. And then she looks at him, and she says, "You didn't see it, did you?"
And then she says something like, "There's something wrong with me."
Yeah.
And immediately starts crying. She gets a CT scan or whatever.
Yes.
Ugh.
So they do like a scan on her. They find out that she has like a brain tumor.
Like a rare brain tumor. One in like 600,000 or 600.
Yeah, it was something super rare. Crazy. It's in the film, they pronounced it glioblastoma, but I think it's glioblastoma.
Okay.
I don't know what that is. Brain cancer.
Yeah. Rare.
Yeah. So all this is like over the course of 2 weeks. She has surgery.
It happened chemo. Super quick. Yeah.
Yeah. Everything went super fast. And then, so sad. She says, "I'm sorry for all this. I feel like I ruined everything."
I'm getting goosebumps like talking about it because it's so scary emotional that, and scary. And like
that that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I would feel like that.
I would feel like that too.
Like, I'd be like, it's my fault I got this rare brain cancer.
Right.
So it's real, real sad. So he goes back to the scene to like investigate because, I mean, she said she saw something.
She said she saw something.
And plus, I think he just wanted to go back and just like take a peek. He works, you know, he's a reporter.
Right.
So he goes back and then that's when he notices, and the car window is still broken.
I know.
So like that's how fresh it is still.
I was wondering that. And then when they said 2 weeks, I was just like, okay, well, that makes sense. Like it might take a while.
Yeah. And then that's when he sees like the weird burn mark.
Yeah. It's like an X missing like one of the bottom legs.
So like a Y.
Yep. Like, I could hear Mike just like snicker. Yes, it's a Y. My God. I feel dumb now.
It's
whatever.
Like a Y burnt into the grill of the grill of the car.
People listening to this are like, how stupid is she? That's okay.
So unfortunately Mary passes away. He's in there cleaning out her personal things out of the hospital room, which I don't know if they do that. Do they just hand you a bag with all the shit in it?
I think they just hand you a bag. Like, yeah. You don't personally go into the hospital room because I think it's, like, triggering to some people, like, having to, like, clean up people's effects or something.
I think the hospital is just like, okay, get the fuck out. We have, like,
that's
people
true.
That need to get in here. Yeah. I mean, it would be nice if they did it because they, like...
They cared.
Cared.
Right.
Yeah. So he picks up her journal and then just this random
orderly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He like peeks his head in the door and said that she was drawing angels. And I don't know if he's ever seen a fucking angel before, but that is not.
That is not an angel. It looks like the demon spawn from Satan. In some of the pictures, in the later pictures she draws, it's like,
aren't
holy
demons
shit.
Spawn of Satan anyway.
Yeah. That's what I said.
I know, but it just sounded funny.
Whatever.
It sounded like you made it up and then it just happened to work out.
My life. My life. I make up all this shit and then it just happens to work out.
So, yeah, her drawings are terrible. These terrible, like...
Scary like drawings.
Demons.
Yeah.
They
start off, though, just, like, looking like a moth, like a big moth.
Like, it could be a moth
gradually
or it could be an angel. And then they get like darker and darker to the point where you can tell somebody like did it with their fingers. Like it's not just like a nice pencil drawing.
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't even say anything about this. I went to Point Pleasant, West Virginia. It's on my like. My list of things to do. My bucket list. Greg and I went to Point Pleasant. It's really
interesting. This was like 3 years ago.
Yeah, 3 or 4 years ago, because we drove down to Florida, and then on our way back, we, like, went through
so fun.
There. They have a museum, a Mothman museum, that is actually super cool. At first, we thought, okay, this might be a little cheesy, but they have so much information. They have the actual reports that were in the newspaper about the sightings.
That's so
cool.
They
have like the police reports of Mothman sightings like between 66 and 67. Yeah. Then they have a bunch of crap from the author. They have a bunch of props from the movie. They have the chapstick. Yeah.
Yes. Which Aaron is going to be posting, or I'll be posting pictures on Instagram. Well, and this is coming out probably after I'm going to be posting the pictures, like leading up to the podcast. But if you haven't had a chance to check out our Instagram, those pictures are up on Instagram. I can say that because
there's like a really cool statue in town, like metal statue. It's got like ruby eyes. I don't know. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I mean, the movie side of it, not the like tragedy side of it.
No.
But you can go to the site where the bridge collapsed. There's like a memorial there. They built a new bridge elsewhere.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, it's cool. It was a lot of fun. So I guess if you're like,
if you're into like occult and
like paranormal type stuff, it's definitely.
Well, it's just like we've talked about this before, where Silent Hill, or like the town that Silent Hill is based off of.
Yeah.
You can visit that town too.
And I still want to go to,
isn't Centralia?
Centralia, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I want to go to the mall where Dawn of the Dead was filmed. That's one. See the cemetery where Night of the Living Dead.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Yeah, it's all filmed kind of in the same area, so I wanted to go over there. Anyway,
yeah,
I just wanted to say that. So, 2 years later, John's on the news. I think he's some sort of, like, political correspondent type person. His friend, whose name I just wrote, Steve from Sex and the City, is trying to set him up with someone. It's once again, like, around the holidays.
Yeah.
He decides that instead of going, he's going to ditch this date, and he has to go meet a senator or governor or something in Richmond. So in the middle of the night, he can't sleep. He's like, fuck it, I'll go right now. So he starts driving. His car breaks down. It's 2:30 in the morning. And I don't know if you noticed in this scene, he gets out of the car and there's like a weird flash of light kind of in the corner of the screen. Like,
no, I didn't
like
notice
heat
that.
Lightning kind of.
Ooh, like over the, I noticed heat lightning in later scenes over the, chemical plant.
Okay. It was kind of like that.
Okay.
So I don't know if that was intentional or.
And there's a lot of like weird little stuff. Like, this is definitely a film that you should probably watch twice, because there's a lot
of. You either have to watch it twice, or you have to watch it like without looking at your phone or doing other stuff.
Yeah.
You have to like be in it, because there are a lot of little things that you could miss. So 2:30 a.m. his car breaks down. He walks to the nearest house. That's where you meet Gordy
and his wife Denise.
Yes. So Gordon opens the door. His wife is standing beside him. And this would just scare the
shit
out of me.
This would scare the shit out of me. Yeah.
I would think for sure I was going to die.
Yeah.
Oh, from either side of it.
Yes.
Either side of the story, I would feel like someone was going to kill me. So Gordy says it's him to his wife, pulls a shotgun on him, and then makes him go stand in the shower until Connie, the sheriff, can come.
Yes. Terrifying.
Terrifying. So he calls Connie and tells her, well, when she gets there, says that it's the third night in a row that John has knocked on his door and asked to use the phone. And the first time he got a weird vibe. No, thank you.
Because he
the second time he threatened him, like, you're trespassing, get off my property. And so this third time, knock on the door at 2:30, he pulls the gun on him.
He's like, fuck it. Like, you're trespassing. I warned you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Connie is kind of, she seems calmer about it than I would think, like I would be. She drives him to town. She kind of hints that there's been like strange things going on.
Yeah.
So she says, you know, I would normally think this was really weird, but with everything else, it's not.
Yeah. It's not peculiar.
So then another like super fucked up thing happens. She drops him off at a hotel, only hotel in Point Pleasant from the sounds of it. It's a small place.
Yeah.
Drops him off there and he's looking at a map on the desk.
This would freak me out. I mean, everything in this film would freak me out, but this especially. Ugh.
Terrifying. He's looking at a map because he was going.
He was going to Richmond, Virginia, which is like on the North Carolina, Virginia border or something. Geography. I graduated with a physical geography degree in maps.
So he. I don't know where Richmond is either.
I think it's like.
Just, yeah, look it up.
Yes.
He was going from what, D.C. to Richmond?
Yeah.
You can look that up and I'll keep telling the story.
Mm-hmm.
So he's looking at the map and he's like, okay, I got turned around. I got off course. Where am I at? And he's like, oh, we're right. The hotel attendant says, oh, we're right on the border. And then he goes, of Ohio. And he like points on the map and yeah. He is hundreds of miles west of where he was supposed to go.
And he got there in like 2 hours.
Yeah. He got there in an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And it's like 400 miles or something crazy.
He left at like 1 o'clock in the morning.
He left at 1 and his car broke down at 2:30.
Yeah.
And somehow he went hundreds of miles.
I was way off. It's not on the border.
Show me.
It's like.
Oh.
But he points to the border.
Yeah.
Because that's where he thinks he is. He's just like, oh, I drove way past Richmond and like points to the border. Okay.
Yes. So then there's nothing wrong with the car. And I kind of like that part too, because John's like, how much is it going to be? And he's like, nothing. I couldn't find anything wrong with it.
Yeah.
Like.
Small town.
Yeah.
For sure.
And then John, okay, he runs into Gordon too. Gordon's willing to let it go. They're like over it. They both feel like something weird is happening. So he went 400 miles between 1 and 2:30 with no memory.
And he tells Gordon this, and Gordon was just like, well, it looks like I'm not the one that's crazy here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That whole, it's just so weird. Then he leaves town. John leaves town, and he waits by Gordon's.
Yes.
Which I would want to do, too.
Yeah. I was wondering this, too, because I would do that.
Connie like busts him.
Yeah.
So then they both wait. They sit there waiting. And then she starts telling him about the strange things that have been going on. People have been seeing things. And then he gets kind of intrigued by it and reads the police records.
But, like, I wrote this down. Do you think Connie would have actually let some, like, random dude come in and look at the police records? Like, isn't that confidential information?
No, you can request. Okay. I think you can request them.
Okay.
Like police records.
Mike was watching it with me too, and he was just like, is that like cool to do? Like,
well, it's not like it's a court case.
That's true. Yeah.
And like even the newspaper has like the police.
Yeah.
Blog
the scanner
thing
stuff.
Where, you know.
That's true. Okay.
Loud noise at 2 a.m. on the 400 block of Magnetic.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's, like, personal. It's not, like, a murder or...
That's true. It's just, like, weird sightings.
It's just weird like things weird that have been going on. And he's, like, a pretty level guy, too.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think she would just show anyone. But they seem to, like, hit it off.
Aww. Yes.
Hmm.
They do.
So then he meets one of the women who saw the Mothman.
Mm-hmm.
And what I thought was cool, too, is that, you know, red eyes, moth-like, and then he sees a drawing, and it looks just like...
It looks exactly like the drawing that Mary did.
Yeah. The initial to the actual reports of the Mothman from, like, back in the day, it was described as bird-like.
Yeah.
And, like, less...
Less moth, more bird.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, red eyes, at least 8 feet tall... She saw it out. This is scary. She saw it out her kitchen window.
And she just like happened to like glance out the window. This is, I get so scared.
This scares the shit out of me too.
Yes.
That I'll just, you know, I'll be walking through the living room at night and glance out the window and there'll be like something terrifying out there.
I know.
Or even not even, it doesn't even have to be terrifying. It can be unexplained. And I'm still.
Like the owl in Fourth Kind.
Yes.
That fucking scares me.
So I don't remember. I think it was trees or something that were growing in Mom and Dad's yard downstate.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So the trees, Dad put like spikes in next to them, like markers, so that he didn't run over the baby trees in the side yard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So one night I went out to the car or something, and when I was coming back in, Mom had put Christmas bows on all of these stakes in the yard.
The fuck, Mom?
And they were red silky ribbons, but then the underside of them was metallic. So I'm walking back to the side porch and I saw like it looked like flickering eyes because you could just see the reflection of the gold. And I stood there terrified for like 10 minutes just trying to figure out what it was.
Because you...
I was paralyzed. I'm looking at it like, okay, that's like 3-4 feet tall.
Yeah.
Big glowing eyes.
I have a feeling, too, like there are three instincts when like faced with something horrible happening. Fight, flight, or freeze. I would totally be the freeze person. I would have stared at my kitchen window looking at this thing, too, because it's just... Ugh.
Yeah. So it stood... She stood there paralyzed staring at it, and then she said it flew away. The tree outside of her house is burnt with the X... minus one leg.
I was gonna say that. Yes.
He goes to the fire station, and the fire station had been getting prank calls. They changed the number, and before they could get the number out to anyone, they were getting the prank calls again, and it was like screeching.
It was just like screeching noises,
weird noises, fast talking.
Can you imagine picking up your phone, like your cell phone, and just having like fast talking going? That would be creepy.
Like anytime you're mad about something?
Yeah. So all the time. Anytime I call you.
Anytime that you need to call as opposed to text?
Yeah.
And you're walking Cooper.
And I'm walking Cooper and just need to like... Motherfucker.
So he, at this point, with all the weird stuff that's going on, John like stalls his return. He also meets the two kids that were making out. Now, this is in the book. This is like...
Okay.
Greg told me that it was part of the book that they see a super bright light. His eyes start bleeding. Well, like the corners of his eyes.
Yeah, they're making out in the like parking lot kind of the chemical plant. That's like out in the middle of nowhere, really.
No, it wasn't the chemical plant. It was... like a dynamite.
Oh, okay.
Like manufacturing building type thing that was abandoned.
Okay.
I think it was like World War II era.
Oh.
Abandoned building. And they were in the parking lot of that.
Okay.
The chemical plant's like way farther down.
Okay.
Yeah. So he gets a phone call in the middle of the night. It's nothing, but it still like wakes him up. That's not the scary one. Gordon meets John in the electronics store, and Gordon was talking about how he's had headaches. He tells him that his reflection wasn't his, and that his sink, like,
that was
sink howled.
That was really creepy. So he wakes up like in the middle of the night, and he goes down to the sink to like wash his face or whatever, and he looks up and he's just like, I don't know who that person was, but it was not me.
Isn't that so scary?
Yes.
See, I can't look in a mirror at night. Like, I'm afraid.
Really?
Because of stuff like this. And you know that scene, I think it's in Poltergeist, where the guy, like, peels his skin off his face?
Yeah.
Is that Poltergeist?
I don't know if it's... No, it's not Poltergeist.
He
it's,
sees, like, something on his cheek, and he, like, picks at it.
And he keeps picking at it. Anytime... House of Wax. Do you remember
that
movie?
I'm not talking about that. Nope.
That's a terrible movie.
Oh, no.
But yeah, I can't remember. I don't think it's Poltergeist. At least I don't think it is.
Are you sure it's not one of like the paranormal research guys that are there?
Yeah, no, you're right.
Okay.
Yep.
That's what I thought. This is why we do this, so that we can watch them and then still forget them.
And the that's next okay. day. I don't care. I watched it yesterday.
So then he heard a voice, do not be afraid, 99 will die, Denver. Yeah. And then he wrote it, but he doesn't remember writing it.
Yeah.
And then while they're having this conversation, his ear starts bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
So Gordon gets a CAT scan, but he doesn't have anything wrong. And John is convinced that he has this like rare cancer that yes. his wife did, because the same type of things are happening. The
same stuff.
So Gordon, Denise, and John are all out to eat. This was like the next day maybe, or that evening?
I think it's that evening.
They're out to dinner, and John just catches a glimpse of the news that's on at the diner. And in Denver, there was a plane crash and 99 people died.
Yeah.
That's like, I can't get over how like screwed up this is.
Yeah.
You can go for a minute because my throat kind of hurts.
Well, yeah. So Gordon is just like, holy shit. Like I'm getting, he essentially thinks he's being spoken to by God or something.
I don't know.
Or something.
Yeah.
I can't really remember that.
He doesn't really say that, but I think that he's, like, optimistic about the information.
Yeah.
Like, he was somehow chosen.
Yeah, I think it's something like that. And then they, like, Gordon and Denise, like, go home. And John is hanging out with Connie, like, at her house. And Connie is... they're just talking about what's going on with Gordon. And Connie is just like, well, I keep having this dream.
Oh, before we get into that, John had called Alexander Leake,
mm-hmm.
who was an author who'd written about Mothman.
Yeah.
And like that type of thing. And they did a play on his name because Leake is Keel.
Yeah.
Backwards. So he tried to get a hold of him to, like, get a meeting with him. Also, all of this, Chicago and D.C. were the outdoor scenes.
Yeah.
It's all Pittsburgh.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's cool.
But, okay, go ahead. You can tell, because that's a really good
Yeah. Good so part. Connie is telling John about this dream she had, and she said she's just floating in the sea, essentially. And there are all of these presents around her. And then she starts to sink.
Mm-hmm.
And she just feels comforted, but it's so cold. And then everything goes black. And she hears a voice in her head that says, wake up, number 37.
Which is a bizarre dream.
Which is a bizarre dream.
Yeah, she...
Goosebumps.
She starts... I know, I have goosebumps too. Yeah. She starts sinking into the water. And she says she just lets go.
Yeah.
She's sinking towards a light, which mm-hmm. I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden it's like, wake up. Which.
Wake up, number 37. Yeah.
And when creepy. She talks about it, it's so creepy because you don't know what's going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
I did notice, though, that she has a real nice, well-kept house. It's very cute.
Super cute.
She has very light-colored carpet, and he's wearing his shoes.
Throw him out.
I would be upset.
Throw him out.
I hope he asked if he could wear his shoes in the house.
Because it is winter. You don't want to be tracking in all that snow and crap.
Exactly.
Ew.
So they're having this, like, heart-to-heart on her couch, and she's, like, telling them the story. And the yeah. first thing I noticed is, wow, she has a really cute house. Ooh, he's wearing his shoes on the carpet.
Bastard.
Yep. Kick him out.
Kick him out. So then, is this the part where Gordon, because I wrote very loose notes. They're all loosey-goosey.
And at that point, too, I think that John is starting to, like, have the feels for Connie.
Yeah. I think the feelings are probably mutual.
Yeah. So this is when Gordon goes to meet Indrid Cold.
Yes.
By the chemical factory.
He's like driving home from work late at night and just gets this feeling to like drive into the parking lot of.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a bright light. Gordon said he looked human, but kind of like off. And then
I wonder what that looks like. like to see somebody, but just kind of look at them and be like, no, something's hinky.
So, John Keel, he coined the term or the phrase Men in Black. And Men in Black is kind of like they look human, but they're not human.
Okay. That makes sense.
They're potentially like interdimensional travelers. Okay. So when he says they looked human, but like not quite there, I kind of think like Wax Museum-ish. Like just something is off where maybe you don't trust them, or maybe like they
something's
just give you
weird.
The heebs.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Okay.
So he meets him at the chemical factory. He tells him his name's Indrid Cold.
Which, who is Indrid Cold?
It's just a made-up.
Okay.
Made-up name. He says that 300 will die, and I will see you in time. So then, I'm assuming next day, I'm skipping a little bit here.
Yeah.
There was an earthquake near the equator, and 300 people died.
Yeah.
So at the hotel, Connie and John are listening to the fire station recording.
Yes.
And just trying to, like, figure out what it is or what's happening with that. Gordon calls and tells him that Indrid is there. And immediately she rushes there.
Yeah.
To, like, see what's happening.
Yeah.
And then that's when John gets on the phone.
With Indrid.
Yes. With Indrid. And this part's...
It's just so creepy.
It still scares the shit out of me. So he's on the phone. Indrid knows about his family home.
All of these things.
He knows. He's like, where's my watch? And in your shoe, under the bed. So John is trying to like trip him up and do all these like little random things.
And his voice is just creepy.
He has, yeah, sort of like a weird, like edited
unsettling
voice. Who I think that was the director.
It is the director's
voice.
Yeah.
So then he turns out the lights and like shuts the blinds or the curtains. You face right now.
I know, because it's freaks me out every time.
It's because we've said it to each other. I can't say chapstick without saying it like this to you, because I know it scares you and it scares me at the same time. So he grabs chapstick and he has it in his hand and he's panicking and he's like, what do I have in my hand? And Indrid Cold goes, chapstick. And it's like
freaks me out every time.
And then he does a page in the book.
And it's the same thing.
He's like, mm-hmm. The sentence, da da da, on page whatever.
And John's like recording this. Like he hit the record button.
And John's
whatever.
Recording the whole thing. And then he asks, I think that's when he asks about his wife. He says something like, will I see Mary again? Or.
Yeah, it's something like that.
And Indrid responds, you'll see her in time. Which is very vague.
It's very vague. Yeah, I mean.
That's not helpful.
And I like when Indrid says, still more proof, John Klein. And it's just so, weird.
That like gives me goosebumps. His voice is so weird.
Yeah.
So Connie, when she gets to Gordon's house to like say, oh my God, you know, to find out what's going on. He's been asleep since 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
He didn't call. But like. Connie was there when he called.
Yeah.
So she knows it's like screwy. John has the tape analyzed. It's not human vocal cords. Okay. That
Which,
happens all the time.
This is interesting too. When he's at like the analyzing place.
The analyzing place?
Whatever. John's just like, well, why would this guy do this? And the guy says, well, what makes you think it's a man?
Yeah. It could be anyone.
I think it's creepy.
Oh, so you think that the guy assumes that it's a monster?
No. Of some type? I think he assumes it's probably a lady.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that ties in later with Mary showing up again.
Yeah.
That it could have just been.
So this is when his buddy Steve covers for him.
Yeah.
And like gets some more time off.
Yes.
Because he has to go back to work. He's supposed to be doing all this shit. And like they've just been pushing it because he's been here now for
and
however long.
And that's when John goes to Chicago too.
Yeah. John goes to Chicago, tracks down Leek. I think he says something about moths are the butterflies of hell.
Yeah, he says something like that.
What is... Why?
I don't know.
Moths aren't hell's butterflies. They're just nighttime butterflies.
They're night butterflies.
They have, like, fuzzy antennae.
They're so cute.
They are cute. Well, obviously, I'm a big fan of moths.
Yeah.
So he learns from Leek that the Mothman is more of an energy, doesn't really exist in physical reality. And it just learns, I don't know, it's kind of a downer. So when he goes back to Point Pleasant, he doesn't tell Connie that he met with him.
No.
Not right away.
Leek essentially tells John that, like, you shouldn't be there. Like, you were led there to die, essentially.
Yeah.
And so, you need to leave there. Like, it doesn't matter what's going to happen. Like, you can't stop it. Whatever. I mean, he has a later conversation with him, too, but.
Yep, I'm going to sneeze.
Okay.
So, hold on.
You're fine. So, John doesn't tell Connie any of this information.
No.
Connie asks about it, and John's just like, oh, he didn't want to meet with me.
Is that when? Oh, no, that wasn't it yet. It's not quite Christmas time yet. He goes back to Point Pleasant. He finds out that Denise left Gordon. There's been 15 more Mothman sightings. Yeah. And John finds Gordon on the bridge. They have like a really depressing talk. Like, do you think he was going to jump?
I don't think so.
Or do you think he was just there?
Contemplating. I don't think he was going to jump. I think he was just
having thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose. John can't sleep. This part was like a jump scare.
I wrote that down too. I was like,
because there's not a ton of jump scares. It's like genuine suspense.
Yes.
But he can't sleep. And when he rolls over, Mary's in bed, like facing him,
like right there.
And then he gets a wake up call that he didn't request. That's like super early in the morning.
It's at 6:14 in the morning.
Yeah.
That's random to remember that. But yeah, it's really early in the morning. And then Gordon calls.
Well, first there's this scene where, he's looking in the mirror and he like doesn't recognize his own face. He's like staring at his reflection.
Oh yeah. Ugh.
And it's like really awkward. Like he's really close to the mirror and it doesn't look like him.
It doesn't look like
him.
When
he's like looking so close.
And I guess that answers my question as to like why, like how could you tell if someone was off, but he looks off.
He does.
Yeah. Okay.
So then he gets a call from Gordon and Gordon says, I'll see you in time. So John freaks out.
Yeah.
Drives over there. Gordon's house is all open, the windows and doors, everything. It's winter, you know, so it's freezing cold out. And he starts panicking, goes out in the woods behind the house, and he finds Gordon leaning against a tree, and he had frozen to death.
Yeah.
Died of exposure.
Yeah.
And it's, like, not explained, like, why he did any of that.
No.
Like, you just think he went loopy and...
And just went out and was done.
And just sat down by the tree and that was...
Yep.
That was it. He says he was called about the chemical factory. Is that the next scene?
That's the next scene. So, John gets a call from Indrid. And he says 37 will die or something like that. Disaster on the River Ohio. Is that scene?
No.
Or is that later?
He. I don't know. He's on the phone with somebody about the chemical factory, like a person.
Yeah. The senator.
That he called there, or the senator, or there's something to do. So that's when he, like, ties in maybe something to do with the chemical factory.
Yeah.
And in that scene, too, his reflection is off in the mirror. So, like, he turns his head, but the reflection, like, turns the other way. And then this is all while he's on the phone. And then he shuts the door, and it's, like, a full-length
mirror. Mike is, like, sending me messages. He said, Gordon was dead for 6 to 8 hours, but called John within the last hour. Weird.
Oh,
thanks,
yeah.
Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Gordon, according to the police officer, according to Connie, had been out there for 8 hours.
Basically
6 to 8
all
hours.
Night.
And John got the phone call like an hour before he showed up.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Love
I don't
you.
Know why I didn't write that down, because that is like good information.
Keeps messaging. Anyway, Mike should just be out here, like, doing the discussion with us.
The one movie I watched.
He did, yeah. Because I told him, I was just like, you might like this one.
So when he shuts the bathroom door, full length mirror, the fucking Mothman is sitting there. And you just see a blur for a minute of
Mike.
Which, Mike, why did you watch it? Because you knew it wasn't like gory or what? Mike? Oh, okay.
Mike made a good point when we were watching this. He said that the image in the mirror had almost what looked like red where the hair would be and green eyes and pale skin.
Oh, yeah. See, I never look at it long enough because I'm afraid.
Right.
And I like, jump.
I looked at it this time. And I
kind of did too.
I think it's the first time that I've ever
looked. Yeah. The first time it happened, it, like, scared me, and then after that, I haven't looked, and then I did this time.
Because it just looks, it's like a blur, like, it's really blurry.
Yeah,
it's like
it's
if
blurry.
Somebody took a picture and did, like, the blur effect, like, all over.
Yes.
To Deborah Messing's photo.
Oh. He orders coffee to go, and
I do want to make a comment. It's 75 cents for a cup of coffee to go.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's,
but it is
well,
just like a little
Starbucks.
Styrofoam.
I mean, it's like just a diner cup of coffee.
Yeah.
I mean, how much is coffee when you go out to a restaurant?
Like a couple bucks.
Yeah, it can't be like terrible. So he kind of thinks he sees his wife. Not sure.
Well, he goes to the police station. He goes to the police station, and when he's walking into the police station, you see Deborah Messing walking behind him at an angle.
Do you see her, or do you just see, like, red hair and, like, kind of her?
You see her.
Okay.
Like, you do see her. And so then he goes up to the police station, and Connie, she's like, oh, like, a woman was just in here asking for you. And he's just like, what did the woman
look
like? Yeah,
and he describes her, or she describes her, and she's like, oh, red hair and green eyes, like, really pretty.
Yeah.
And then
he pulls a picture out of his wallet and it's just like, is this her? And she's just like, yeah, like that was her. And then he's like, this is my wife. She died 2 years ago. And then Connie is just like, well, it might not have been her.
And I guess, so she'd also asked a bunch of strange questions. She asked if he was happy. Well, she just said, ask strange questions, like if you were happy. Yeah. But like, when I die, I'm staying dead.
I don't want to come back.
I wouldn't do that to people I care about.
No.
Yeah. Which is why it's probably not Mary.
It's probably not Mary. It's probably the Mothman.
He goes back to the hotel. He's got 9 messages. All of them are screeching.
Yeah.
And then... Was it... Sorry.
That's okay.
So he gets in the car and drives to Chicago, finds out more from Leek that he was a physics professor at Cornell. He was convinced he was getting messages from outside forces, but there was no way to prevent it. And he ended up losing his wife and kids.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't handle it. And then he spent 4 years in a psych hospital.
Yeah, because he injured cold told him about a bombing that was going to happen. He couldn't prevent it. He was taking.
He couldn't warn people about it, because if he did, then
people would think
he
that
was
it
a suspect.
Was him. And then John said, I wrote down a couple things. John was just like, didn't you need to know? And Leek says, we're not allowed to know.
Which is, yeah. So John,
this kind is the great tragedy on the river Ohio. This is the message.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So John basically decides that he needs to know, even though Leek just told him, like, you're going to ruin your life. His boss wants him to meet the governor to tour the chemical plant. And then that's when he gets the call, great tragedy on the river Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Which he assumes it's the chemical plant. Like, something is going to happen. So he assumes
it's the chemical plant. John wants Connie to call in sick. And she says that she won't live her life like that.
Yeah, she doesn't want to live her life in fear, even though if John is right, then that's okay. Like, she doesn't want to be terrified her whole life that something horrible is going to happen to her.
Which I totally get.
Yeah, I completely understand that.
Like, I'm not listening to, like, weird voices, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going to do my thing, and mm-hmm. because, yeah, you can't live like that.
No.
So he tries to tell the governor that the plant's going to explode. He basically, like, looks crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, how much you wrote down about that, but...
Well, he goes to pick up the governor and or the senator or whatever, and the senator is just like, no, like, we're not doing this. And the senator leaves, and John is, like, sitting down at the hotel bar, and he gets a message from someone... Or from one of the waiters there, and it says, Mary, Friday, Georgetown, noon.
Yeah, I think it's like that. Mary will call.
Yeah.
Georgetown, Friday, noon. So he gets home at 11:55 and gets a call from Connie. She booked a flight for him to come down for Christmas. Because he's alone.
Yeah.
And... She says something, or he says, like, I can't talk right now. And she's like, well, you need to talk right now.
Yeah.
And he's, like, looking at his watch the whole time.
And she essentially is just like, you can't live your life hoping that this is going to be Mary or chasing ghosts, essentially.
She does talk some sense. Like, she talks sense into him. And I think it kind of has an effect.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, he ends up going.
Yeah. Well, the phone rings at noon, and he rips the phone out of the wall. It still rings.
Ugh. Yeah.
And do you think him not answering is like the Mothman, like, leaving Mary?
I think so. I think the Mothman was, like, testing him to, like, see how far he could push John. And this is all, like...
speculation.
Theorized, you know. But I think once he doesn't answer, the Mothman's like, okay.
Yeah.
Or, like, maybe this was a chance for him to move on.
Yeah.
And he...
Because, I mean, he passed that test. Like, if 2 years went by and I got a note and it was like, Greg will call, like, be home at this time. Well, first of all, I have a cell phone, so...
Right, yeah.
People can get a hold of me from beyond the grave whenever they feel like it.
Yeah.
That I don't have to sit at home.
You don't have to...
So he gets to Point Pleasant, and it's Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve.
Which it actually happened on December 15th, but, you know.
Christmas Eve for dramatic effect.
For dramatic effect. Mm-hmm. There's a huge traffic jam.
Because the traffic lights are screwing up.
Yes.
Weird. So
weird. The car or the bridge is just loaded down with vehicles. And John kind of realizes what's going to happen like 2 seconds before. He sees all the cars and he kind of maybe hears, like, the bridge.
Oh. Yeah.
And he's like, fuck.
And Connie is at the center of the bridge in her police cruiser.
Yeah.
And her back, like, the back of her vehicle is filled with presents.
Well, everyone has.
Everyone is, because it's Christmas Eve. Everyone's
vehicles are full of presents.
The guy that was making out with his girlfriend, like, they were engaged.
Which I thought was cute, because he's, like, asking him all these questions, like, earlier on. And she's like, we're getting engaged.
And I'm she's like, oh.
Oh, like, it's okay, kid. I don't care if you make out.
Like, yeah, like, cool. Jesus isn't mad at you.
So the boy is on the bridge and she is being fitted for a wedding dress.
Yeah.
So when the whole thing starts collapsing, she comes running out of the bridal salon and is wearing a dress.
And as it's collapsing, it's like the scene in Ghost Ship.
It is, because all the cables are snapping and smashing into cars.
And one of the cables comes down and smashes the kid.
Yeah.
CJ.
Yes.
CJ's no more.
So the bridge that they built is actually a model bridge.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So when you see the zoomed out scenes of the bridge collapsing, that is a model. Hold on. I thought it was super cool. So it was made by Fantasy 2. It took 8 people 3 months to build that model bridge.
That's insane.
Yeah. So, and it took them so long because it had to be so detailed the way it was lit. They couldn't
just be like, this is good.
Yeah. It's not the background to something. It's the main event. Yeah. And they built the bridge over a pool that they had in the production facility.
That's really neat.
Yeah. Because the bridge collapsing is terrifying.
Insane.
And the bridge splits and the cars start all rolling into the water.
Yeah. And Connie kind of realizes what's happening too. And so Connie got out of her cruiser. She radios and she got out of her cruiser to get all of these people out of their cars and stuff. But it's starting to be too late.
Yeah.
And cars are falling. People are panicking. It's chaos.
Well, she gets back in her vehicle. She radios that this is happening. And then her police car goes into the water.
While she's radioing too, and the police vehicle is getting pulled into the water, number 37 is on the scanner.
Yes. The number on the radio channel or whatever, it was 5.
Yeah.
And then it flickered to 37 as she's going into the water. I know. I have goosebumps too. It's 500 degrees in this house and I have goosebumps right now. So she goes into the water. John sees her go into the water and jumps in to save her.
Yeah. And you can tell that he's kind of hesitant and then he just goes for it.
So he pulls her out and it's so crazy because they do an overhead shot and it's
this
packages floating in the water.
Haunting.
And headlights, all the headlights of the cars in the water going out.
Just, it's insane. And it's super depressing knowing that that actually happened.
Yeah.
Too.
I can't even imagine. But he gets her out of the car and as he's pulling her up out of the water, you can see all the packages floating.
It's insane. Yeah.
Yeah. So that part was super creepy. The fire chief, I'm assuming fire chief.
Yeah.
Tells her that 36 were dead, and then that's when she realizes that she was 37.
She was supposed to be 37, and then John Klein saved her.
Yes. The extras, I'm assuming in this scene, because there was so many medics and firemen and stuff running around, since they didn't film it in Point Pleasant, some of their, their police force, maybe first responders, I'm probably getting this totally wrong, they were extras in it, and I'm assuming that they're extras in this scene because there's so much happening
from Point Pleasant. That's really cool. So what other film did they do that in where they used actual it was Sleepaway Camp, where they use actual police from the area. That's neat.
So, because it was filmed somewhere in Pennsylvania, I want to say in the Pittsburgh area as well. And yeah, so they had officers come up from Point Pleasant to be in it.
That's really neat.
Yeah. One other thing I wanted to say about it too before we get into that's the end.
That's the end.
What I thought was really neat about it was how a lot of the scenes were shot. So it was you were spying on someone, kind of.
Yes.
like, not all of the conversations people were had were viewed, like, straight on. It would be, like, through the blinds or, like, through, like, around a corner,
yeah,
people talking. And it kind of gave that, like, creepy vibe.
This one in general is just creepy. Like, I've said before, I get more creeped out by stuff like this than movies like Sleepaway Camp.
Oh, of course.
Like, I get so much more creeped out by, like, alien abduction movies, like The Fourth Kind and stuff like that, and, like, and possession movies just freak me out.
It's because you think about it later and you relate it more to your real life.
Yeah.
Like, if there's a bunch of teenagers and they get hacked up at a camp, like, yeah, it's gory and yeah, it's, like, entertaining to watch, but you can't relate it to your life. Where this... Like,
how many times have I walked past, like, my kitchen window at night and, like, kind of glanced out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's that, like, haunting feeling. So the people that did the music for this, it's Tom and Andy, but they have it as, like, one word on all the stuff.
Tom and Andy.
That I looked at. So I was trying to read it, but then it's, like, Tom such and such, Andy, yeah, such and such. They also did the music for, because I thought the music was really intense and, like, very, it led to a lot of the suspense, yeah, in it. They did The Strangers, The Hills Have Eyes, and P2, which I want to do, like, closer to Christmas time.
Ooh, yeah.
Because I haven't watched it, but that does,
I'm
going to
throw this right out there. I never want to do The Hills Have Eyes.
No.
No.
I was thinking maybe the old one. Because it's not as
graphic. And it's not to say that, like, I don't mind graphic horror movies and stuff. I don't mind those.
I know what you're talking about.
But yes.
Yeah, that's, I don't need to
no,
see that.
No, thank you. Mm-mm.
So would you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, like.
This is one of my faves. I mean, I went to Point Pleasant. Obviously,
I really
think
like
it's
it.
It's really interesting.
I am partial to the films that I remember watching with Dad and, like, Dad, like, freaking me out about.
Yeah, I get that.
So
yeah.
This one, I'm like, yeah, because I remember watching it with Dad when I was in high school.
I don't know. It came out in 2002, mm-hmm, so that would have been when Greg and I had just moved up here.
Yeah, in out at Deer Track in the little tiny cabin.
I'm pretty sure that I did not watch it, though, in the years that we lived in Deer Track.
I would not have.
Or I would have been petrified.
Well, because you had that, like, automatic light on the back porch.
Well, not even the automatic. We have an automatic light now.
You do?
Yeah, we have a motion light in the back. Motion lights always remind me of communion.
No shit. Yes.
But we had the big windows that, like, face
the road.
The road. And
I used the term road loosely. It was like a little driveway.
Drive. But it was, like, out in the woods. Oh, my God, that would have scared me so bad. I am thinking now, though, that I'm talking about it. I think I watched it with Vanessa, so it would have been, like, 2005-ish.
Yeah.
I didn't see it right when it came out.
I think I saw it right. Well, maybe, like, a year or two after.
Anyway, so, yeah, recommend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and Mike gets after me about this, too. He's like, you're never going to not recommend one. And I was like, well, because each horror film appeals to
It's
going to appeal to somebody. Like, somebody out there. Like, Killer Clowns, I don't particularly like, but it's, like, a cult classic to some people.
Yeah. So, well, that's, like, Midsommar. Like, I won't watch it again.
I would probably watch it again. But I really, after seeing Black Widow, I really like Florence Pugh.
Oh, well, I thought she's a good actor. I thought the acting was good. I just, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
That's a different.
So, yes, we would totally recommend this. Yeah. And like I said, we would have posted pictures. I don't know how to phrase this. Of
when this comes out, there's already going to be pictures.
Yes.
On the internets.
Of Aaron's adventure in Point Pleasant. And then if you like what you hear.
We didn't even have to say any of that. You could have just said, and check out our Instagram for Aaron's adventures in Point Pleasant. Not like, how do I say it? Because I'm posting them on this day and we're not releasing
I don't
this
know.
Until...
I have anxiety and it makes me like think
you know,
all
Nicole said that the other day. She called me and it was like 8 o'clock at night. And she's like, oh, aren't you doing a podcast tonight? And I'm like, no. Like Mike and Chelsea both listen to it and like fix things up on it. Mm-hmm. It's not like we're sitting there talking and then it immediately, it's not live.
It's not live. It's usually a week in advance. Unless
weekish.
Anyway, if you like what you hear and want to know what we're going to be doing later on or whatever, follow us on Instagram. It's /your movie review, all one word, all lowercase. We also have a Facebook page, /your movie review, and we have a webpage, /yourmoviereview.com.
Yes.
I'm starting to get to where I can like say
it super fast. Well, you can say it super fast. Yeah, definitely like rate and review and
share
on Facebook and... Because we have a pretty good turnout.
We have a solid group of people that like hearing us ramble about movies. So that's kind of cool. But
all right. Well, everybody have a good night.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.